Heavenly Father, we praise you for this glorious time, a time like no other. And Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather together to seek you and to know you to a continually greater degree. So Father, we just give you this meeting, and we just thank you, Father, that you minister to every heart, and we give you all the honor and praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn over to Luke 10. Now, there's a lot of things to cover, and of course, I'll go where the Holy Spirit leads. But one thing I really want you to understand going in to this conference and during this conference, and that is that as the anointing of God is released and that incorruptible seed of God's Word is released, it's going to go into the heart that's prepared, and I believe that's the case in every case here, and He is going to plant that there. And so it's not a matter of trying to get everything that everybody says all at once, because like I said, there's going to be a lot of material covered this week. And so it's not an intellectual thing we're talking about here. We're talking about each and every one exercising faith that the seeds that go into their heart, that are received into their heart, that they will be expanded in their time with God. And it's and not only expanded, but also expanded perfectly so that each and every one of you are prepared for what you are called to do in the days ahead. And today I'm going to talk a great deal about intimate fellowship with God and the fact that it's extremely important in this last hour to have a revelation of what He requires of us. So in Luke 10:27, it is written, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." Now, as I was studying the Word over the years, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this, and He called this scripture the divine requirement. Now, it's very important that you get a revelation of this, because as we enter into the place where we are going to demonstrate the kingdom of God in the earth, we're going to have to be perfectly prepared, and we're going to have to come in line with what God desires on His terms. So that's extremely important. A heart wholly given to God is the key to understanding all things. All things. Look up the word "all" in the concordance. You'll see it's there over 2,000 times. Now, one of the things I'm going to talk to you about is the fact that God is revealing His truth, or truth, in His absoluteness in this last hour. Amen. And the scales are coming off the Scriptures. And we're going to see the Father's plan as He intended it all along. Yeah. In every aspect. And it is extremely important that we again understand the divine requirement. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your soul, all your mind, all your being, all your strength, everything. That is the divine requirement for every Christian walking the face of this earth. And all the problems that have been caused up until this time in the church are, or have been, a result of a lack of consecration, a lack of holiness in the church. It's that simple. And of course, because of that, the devil has been able, or been allowed to, set up many schemes. But the good news is that God is going to take those all down. Hallelujah. Through a church that's spotless and unblemished, a church through which the glory of God, the very presence of God, will be manifested. Yeah. Turn over to Ephesians 3:14. Now, I was preparing a teaching. Actually, I believe, Vincent, it was at that conference where we met 2 years ago. And I was studying this scripture, and I saw something that I hadn't seen before. And it really has been a key or a catalyst to more understanding for me as everything begins to unfold in this last hour. Ephesians 3:14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts or abide in your hearts. Extremely important. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, see, this is a progression here, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, the thing that jumped out at me here that I really hadn't seen before was at the end of verse 17. It says, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, or may be enabled to comprehend, and goes on. The progression goes on. In other words, just to put it in direct terms, if a Christian is not in that place of abiding in love, if they are not in the place wherein God's love is continually shed abroad in their heart, then there will be an element of deception slip in this last hour. That is a fact. We know that the glorious church is rising up, and we know that God's light. I don't want to dwell on the negative. That's not what I'm here to do, because we are going to overcome in all things as the glorious church. But the fact is, it's a very, very dangerous age, the most dangerous time on this earth to be. But thank God we have the greatest provision that anybody's ever had also. And we're going to, again, I'm going to go over some things. I'm going to go where the Spirit leads me. And over the next couple of days, I'll come back to things. But I want to paint this picture and show you just how important it is in this last hour to be abiding in Christ, to be living for God with all your heart. Okay, turn over to, you don't have to go there. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I was reading that scripture at the same time. And I went, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. And I said, why did you stop me? Okay, because, you know, people go, see God. Oh, that's wonderful. But I said, why did you stop me? I said, see what? He said, see all things pertaining to the Father's plan, pertaining to His to kingdom living and all things. So purity in heart, again, very, very, very important. Now, a teaching I did a while back, God gave me a title for it. I like titles, because in a title, when it's given to you by the Holy Spirit, it can really impact a person's thinking. It can plant a seed that opens their heart for more of an expansion on that thing. And the title He gave me was Intimacy, the Key to the Fullness of Transition. Transition from what? Transition from wherever you've been to wherever God wants you to be. Transition from the second day to the third day. Transition from living in the world to living in the kingdom. Again, we're talking about absolutes here. Very important to keep that in mind. Intimacy is defined or is characterized by pronounced closeness of friendship or association. Deeply personal. This is what God desires, the Father desires. Fullness, the state or quality of being full. Transition, the act or state of passing from one place, condition, or action to another. The time, period, or place of such passage. It's important to remember that the principles of the kingdom are very simple, but the understanding of them is predicated upon us continually gaining a deeper revelation of the absoluteness of God. That is to know His presence, to know Him as He is. We haven't seen that to this point. We're seeing it, but we haven't seen it the way that He desires us to see it. But we will, and we are.
Thank you, Lord.
It's extremely important to note that there is no partiality in God. He's always been an absolute God. You know, it's an amazing thing to read the Scriptures in these days, and they seem to just explode off the page in a way like never before. Why? Again, God is revealing His Word and His truth in His absoluteness. So we have to have a heart that's wholly given in order for us to perceive and to understand what He's seeking to impart to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now that was a scripture that I ran across early, And I didn't know what that meant, because, you know, physically you can't pray without ceasing in the natural way of thinking. So as I began to study that, as I began to continue on in my walk with God, He gave me the words, communicate with me without ceasing. Acknowledge me in all your ways. I'll direct your paths. We have to understand that we're going to be a people in this last hour that walk by revelation entirely. Entirely. There has been a spirit of mental ascension in the church that has caused havoc. But that will be no more in the midst of all those who are truly seeking God, who are truly seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness. We're going to talk a bit about righteousness. Again, I'm going to go where the Spirit leads. I'm going to touch on these things. I'm going to come back to some things in more detail as He leads in the next couple of days. But it's very, very important to have this established, because as you'll see, again, the divine requirement is the key to all things. Now, let me explain that a bit. When God created mankind, He created him for fellowship. We all know that. And we know that He created us in such a way that we would be capable, with a free will choice, of loving Him or not loving Him. Well, God never changes. And so as the plan of redemption unfolded throughout the centuries, we can begin to understand that because He never changes, just because man fell, He didn't change. His desire for fellowship with us, intimate fellowship, one-on-one with us, didn't change. It didn't change. And so, amazingly, as you begin to understand the unfolding of God's plan for the church in this last hour, the glorious church to come into being, to demonstrate the power of the kingdom in this earth, you begin to understand that that is going to be the key still. And again, as I go into some things, it is an amazing thing to see what's happening in this earth, because people are either moving towards God or they're moving more into themselves, and of course leaving themselves open to the lies of the enemy. The thing about the inner chamber, and that's the term that he gave me. Actually, I got that term from a book that Andrew Murray wrote over 100 years ago. And it was an amazing book to me. It opened my eyes up. And in that book, he goes through all the various men and women of God throughout the history of the Bible, and shows that the key to their success was their relationship with God, was meditating in the Word day and night, as it says in Joshua 1. Then you will have success. Then you will prosper.
Amen.
And so, consequently, this book was a real blessing, and that term became emblazoned on my heart. And, you know, again, as we go on, you're going to understand that in this last hour, it is the key to our empowerment, the very being in the presence of God. And, of course, it begins individually, but it's the individual obedience that will cause the perfect corporate manifestation that God desires. It's the individual obedience and fellowship with God that will bring forth, that will unfold true unity and the one accord that He desires. How else could we possibly come into one accord if we don't have His mind? It's a horrific thing to me. I know my battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's a horrific thing to me that there are so many different schisms and doctrines in the church. It doesn't need to be. And now God is releasing a revelation of His heart, His will, for us to come into that place so that we know His heart. And when people, when men and women of God speak, then our hearts witness to what they're saying.
Amen.
And we're going to deal with some scriptures that talk about that. And Jesus, you know, Jesus really did set this thing in motion perfectly for us. I mean, He walked as a prophet under the old covenant, without sin, of course, because He was the spotless lamb, but empowered totally by the Holy Spirit, doing nothing but what He heard the Father speak. Doing nothing but what He saw in His inner man through the power of the Holy Spirit. Totally motivated by love in all things. He is our perfect representative. So when we look at some of the scriptures dealing with His ministry, then we can begin to see clearly that we are an empowered people But we must be a people whose hearts are filled to overflowing, consumed with the love of God, to be perfectly motivated in all things. Extremely important. Again, I'm touching on these things now. I'm going to go back into them. I'm going to talk about godly desire. I'm going to talk about self-desire. There's only two desires in this planet, in this earth, and those are them. And we're either going to have one or the other. The problem has been the mix. But God is raising up a people throughout the earth, in every part of the body throughout the earth, that are truly wholly given to Him. And they're understanding things. They're understanding things. Now, I want to share this word that the Father gave me on the inner chamber, just so you can get the definition of this on His terms, because it's different for each and every believer, each and every one of us. The onus is upon us to go into fellowship with God, to hear His voice, and to understand, come to an understanding of what He requires of us. Whatever that is, it's different for each and every one of us. But the principle is still the same. And I will say this to you right now by the Spirit of God. When you are obedient to enter into fellowship with the Father and His Word on His terms, you will reach places you never thought possible this side of heaven. And we know that's the vision we want to have. We're going to talk more about vision in the days ahead before we leave here. And the fact is we need to have a clear vision, a pure vision. And the fact also is that God is releasing an anointing in the midst of those who truly love Him, that has great clarity, great light, great power to expand the heart of the Father, to expand His plan in our hearts, and prepare us perfectly. He is a God of perfect purpose, and He is a God of pinpoint accuracy. And that's what we must come to understand. And we're going to deal with the scripture, Matthew 7, talking about the narrow path. There's a reason why it's narrow. See, we don't have the right to live for ourselves anymore. Every Christian has to have that revelation. It is another catalyst to understanding the fullness of God's plan. If a Christian still believes in their heart, even unknowingly, that they still have a right to live for themselves, even in their service to God, they will be deceived. They will be deceived in this last hour. We're coming down now to the conflict of kingdoms. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Almighty God. We sometimes pass over that word, Almighty. But Almighty means just what it says. And Satan will be exposed exactly for who he is. A spiritual non-entity. I could go into that more, but I'm not going to do that right now. I'm sure we will. So anyway, I just want to share this word, this definition that the Father gave to me concerning the inner chamber. And you can call it whatever you want. You can call it the secret place of His presence, the Holy of Holies. Call it whatever you want. Just go there. That's the main thing. So this is what He spoke. He said, "The inner chamber is that place wherein one communes with me in secret. And it means shutting out the world and shutting in themselves unto me. The inner chamber is not first and foremost a time frame. It is first and foremost a proper heart position before me as each new day begins. As one abides in the proper heart position, then they shall surely be doing perfectly all that I require of them concerning the inner chamber." See, it's a cycle. "Therefore, let each one of my children walk in the manner in which I have assigned them concerning the inner chamber." The inner chamber is the place of empowerment. Now, this isn't a teaching that I can stand here and explain to you all the wonderful things that happen when you're obedient to God in this area. I could go for a while, because it is the essence of all things, the accomplishment of all things. It is the place wherein we truly become overcomers on an abiding basis in all things. See, God doesn't want us to hit and miss, hit and miss. We've been in a time of preparation for years. Years and years and years. But I'm telling you, the fullness of time is here. This is a very special time. It is a time like no other. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try and convince you that. I believe that the Holy Spirit will do that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a different time, even since the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be ready. We have to be ready. I want to go about 1,000 ways here at once, but we're going to deal with these things, but this is the key. If you, and I said this earlier, if you will obey this, you will come into a place much quicker than you could even imagine, a better place than you could ever have imagined this side of heaven. That is the vision of the glorious church. That is the fullness of the Father's plan for His children. And all things are included. In other words, we're going to get the job done.
Amen.
Again, the inner chamber is the only place from which we can overcome in all things in this last hour. Very important. We do want to overcome. Why would we want to be a people who settle for less than God's best? Why would we want to be a people that just get by? Those days are over. Those days are over. In this hour, God is simplifying things for us. He's simplifying things, but in that simplification comes the absoluteness again of His Word coming forth, of His character coming forth, to know that God means what He says, and He says what He means. And He's coming now to reveal Himself to a greater degree than He's ever been able to. I'm talking about the Father now, in the past. That's good news. That's good news because His very presence brings forth a spirit of restoration that this earth never seen before.
Amen.
I mean, not only to restore what the devil stole, and that's part of it, not only to restore people in their wherever they've been hurt or whatever they need, that will be restored, but also to bring them to a place of their kingdom position or their position in the kingdom. Because every Christian walking the face of this earth should be seeking nothing less than to accomplish all that they were created for in Christ.
Amen.
Nothing. Another absolute thing. Another absolute desire of the Father's heart for each and every one of His children.
Right.
I mean, when we step into heaven and hear the word, we want to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have accomplished all that I created you for." That will include everything, won't it? We won't have to look back with any regrets.
Amen.
Those are the words that we want to hear. It's the Father's deepest heart desire for us to come into a place where we trust Him wholly. You know, we don't have a lot of time to continue on in a place of mistrust and fear. It's not a good place in the world out there. It's the place where we want to be is exercising an absolute faith, working through a perfect love, manifesting in a perfect obedience. That's where we want to be, because things are coming to pass to a continually accelerated degree. And that's good news for those who truly love God and those who are truly seeking Him. It's not good news for those who have maintained a willful fear, a willful pride, and sin. Because all things that are apart from Christ will be judged. They will be judged. And they will be shown. The motivation will be shown. And that's where we're going to go right now. Turn over to John 7. I'm not going to go into this whole passage, but I'm going to deal with this principle that Jesus spoke. And it's amazing. I'm standing here sharing these things with you. And it seems like, well, those last 20 years weren't so bad, you know. I went around the mountain, 70 or 80,000 times, but it seems, but the fact is, we're here now.
Amen.
And the good news is that, and God showed this to me. It just blessed me because I was going through hell. Back, and this is 20 years ago now, and I mean, I'm walking with the Lord, but it's just, the Lord and the devil. It just seemed to be the only thing that was going on. And just, and then revelation, like that. And I said, at that time, I was working in a youth group, working with the pastor. And I said, "Oh, Father, I just love these kids. I don't want to see them have to go through this." And he said, he said in the last of the last hour, he said no. He said the way it's going to be is the anointing will be such that the revelation that's been gained through the saints that have walked with me will be imparted. And he said it will be like a branding iron on the hearts of my people. So as the anointing goes forth and the hearts are prepared to receive what God has, then it's like a branding iron. Well, we all know that, and I'm not a cowboy by any stretch, but we all know that when you brand cattle, that thing's not coming off too easily. So it's good news for us to realize that God is moving now in the midst of those people who truly love Him, in the midst of the righteous congregations or the congregations of the righteous. And He is branding our hearts, emblazoning these truths on our hearts, revealing His heart to us. That in itself is the greatest privilege. If we weren't called to do anything at all, we could just sit at His feet forever. And we will be ministering to Him and loving Him and appreciating Him for all that He's done. But we do have a job to do. And we are an empowered people. So John 7:17. If any man is willing to do His will, he shall know of the teaching, kingdom principle. If a person's heart is wholly given to God, they will know, they will understand what's of God and what's not. I'll just give you a demonstration of that. When I started out, I didn't know anything. Like everybody else, I didn't know anything that I needed to know anyway. And yet, God delivered me out of where I was. Began to deliver me out of that. I was in absolute fear, headed towards the revelation of absolute faith, but in absolute fear. And yet He gave me a project, and that was to begin to glean the writings of precious men and women of God that had gone before. Strangely enough, at that time, He directed me more to people in the 19th century and the turn of the century, and a very few actually in the 20th century at that point. But they had kingdom revelation. They had a revelation of the body of Christ. And so consequently, their writings, for the most part, had a body of Christ consciousness there. And that was not a common thing back in the early 80s.
No.
It was not. The only people who'd done it, they tried, but then they were doing it in their own strength, so they ended up crashing. So anyway, He gave me that, you know, those books to read, and it was an assignment, and of course it was edifying too. And it was an amazing thing to me that I could be reading a book and I would come to a section, I'd say, I didn't have that much Word in me, but I was in the Word every day. And I'd come to a section, I'd look at that and I'd say, something's not right about that. I don't know why, but something's not right. Not in a spirit of condemnation, oh, that guy's off, but just because there was gold nuggets in the midst of all these things. And so God led me to this scripture. And you know, He began to speak to me and say that if my children will remain pure before me, they will know and they will understand. Do you want to hear an absolute kingdom principle? Love understands all things. That's why we don't need to take offense at people. If you refuse to take offense when the devil comes against you in whatever manner, and you just hold on, grit your teeth, spit, whatever you have to do, not on the person. Grit your teeth, go somewhere off by yourself and seek God, you will gain understanding. You will gain understanding and you will gain light. And not only will you gain the light to find out what the devil's trying to do, you really don't need much light to know he's trying to cause you some harm, steal, kill, and destroy, but you will find out what the ground is in that person and you'll be able to pray in wisdom and in love and release those forces into their life and get them free. You know, quite honestly, a lot of captives have remained captive because people, delegated authorities, we're all delegated authorities, have not walked in love consistently.
Amen.
But if we'll walk in love, sometimes you'll see instant results, sometimes you won't. But faith works by love. So whether it happens quickly or whether it doesn't happen quickly, makes no difference. We're called to abide in faith anyway.
Amen.
We're called to abide in love. What's the problem? Self-focus. We need to have our eyes focused on Jesus. All right, so, if any man is willing to do His will, he shall know of the teaching. He shall know whatever he needs to know. You know, I firmly, the Holy Spirit's just taking me where I didn't know I was going. I firmly believe this, that any person seeking God with all their heart will always know what they need to know in any given moment. You don't need to have all this knowledge stored up waiting for a time to come. You step out, you go where you're called to go, knowing that you will have the words that you'll need to speak in that time. Jesus said that. And you'll know what you need to know. There's too many people out there seeking things they don't need to know. If we need to know it, God will reveal it to us. It's a simple concept. But pride will take people into a place, and that's the knowledge, and to gain knowledge, and that, of course, is the knowledge that puffs up. He who exalts himself in this last hour will be humbled by God. But he who humbles himself in the presence of the Lord will be exalted. Now, I was going over that scripture, and of course, you kind of get a bit of a dirty taste in your mouth when you hear that word exalt, you know, ooh. Because you think of self-focus and all those things. So I asked the Lord about that, and he said this to me. He said, when you read that scripture, he said, just insert the word platform. So I did. I went back over. I said, okay, he who exalts himself will have the platform that they've built taken away from them, cut out from under them, because they built their own platform through their own agenda. And then he said, he who humbles myself will be given a platform. I said, for what, Father? For everything that I've prepared them for, to speak, to say, to do everything that I've prepared them for. And that constitutes our whole calling. So our job then is to humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Another scripture that, again, confirms the inner chamber. Again, I'll tell you, I am so hungry to impart this in this time. I've preached this message before. I've preached this message a fair amount of time. But it's never been like it is right now. Because now God is raising up people such as yourselves with pure hearts. And so you can receive this. And again, I'll say this. If you will act on this in obedience to the Holy Spirit, you will be elevated rather quickly. And come into a place where you need to be, and into a place where you desire to be, most importantly. Amen. And ultimately into that place where you truly have the platform to accomplish all that you were created for in Christ. Amen. These are the spiritual realities of this time. We've talked about this, and we've believed, and we've hungered after this. But now it is the fullness of time. At some point, that had to happen, didn't it? I'm going to share a scripture, I believe, Friday morning, that God gave me 2 weeks ago as I was preparing a teaching. And it really does express His deepest heart desire as far as where the glorious church is now and where it's going and exactly what He's going to do in this hour, because He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Amen. All right, I better go on with this. Sorry. Let's just read that again. Verse 17, if any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. Again, talking about godly desire, self-desire. He who speaks from himself or self-desire seeks his own glory. Do you realize that every action that's taken in the flesh, the root of that is to exalt oneself above God? I'm not saying consciously. How many times have we done things, didn't realize we were even in the flesh? But I'll tell you, people, we're coming to a place now. We don't have any excuses not to walk in perfect love, not to abide in perfect love.
Amen.
Another example of byproduct of the inner chamber is this, that when you spend daily fellowship with God, there is light there. There is an impartation of light that will always, always reveal any motivation, any desire that's apart from God. Extremely important.
Amen.
Because it's His power that's going to bring us into this. The power of His love. His love is the greatest power in this universe. He is love. And so these forces of the kingdom are about to be released in great power. Wisdom, righteousness, faith, love. The turning of the world upside down that we caught a glimpse of in the early church was just that, a glimpse.
Oh,
those people, precious saints that they were, I'll tell you, they didn't have that much revelation. They just started. Do you realize how much revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is in this earth at this time? I mean, how many translations of the Bible? How many tapes, anointed tapes? We are the most blessed people to ever walk the face of this earth, without question. But we will be held accountable for that. Praise God. But that shouldn't bother us. That shouldn't bother us. That should excite us. God didn't raise us up in this last hour that we could fall flat in our face and enter into another age of darkness. He called us into the place where we would represent Him perfectly in all that we say and do, and be a brilliant light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. He is so passionate towards His children in this hour. He always has been. But it's like a loving father in the natural. I mean, can you imagine being a loving father or mother in the natural? And every time you go to bless your children, they just turn their nose up at you and walk away. It's a terrible thing, even to us on that scale. Can you imagine what it's like to God? But thank God He is raising up a people. He is so pleased with those people who have fought the war, who have walked in obedience to Him through come hell or high water. Literally. And they are about to be blessed.
Amen. Verse 8.
It is. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, we've all been sent, he is true. And there is no unrighteousness in him. Again, we're talking about righteousness, and I'm going to deal with some scriptures later about that. It came to us righteousness, wisdom. Praise God. Yes. The fact is, actually, turn over to John 15. It's time for everything to work the way that God planned it in the church. It's time for the establishment of a true working fivefold ministry. There's so much here. Because, and I'm gonna get to this. It's very, very important. It's very, very important that you understand that we are all equal in the Father's sight. Another revelation, these revelations I'm sharing with you have to have in your heart. And it's not so much, you may already have that in your heart, praise God. But I'm speaking to a people that God is preparing to go out and represent Him perfectly. Amen. The deepest thoughts and intentions of His heart.
Amen.
And so that's where I'm speaking to you. So that you're perfectly prepared. Whether you're going to the local grocery store or wherever He sends you, the unadulterated power of God, the love of God is flowing out of you. It's His power that's going to win the world.
There you go.
I don't know why we ever thought we could do anything on our own strength. And why it took 20 years to come to that realization in some cases. But we are a people that need to understand that we can do nothing apart from Christ. We're going to deal with that right now. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. I want you to get the picture or the word in your heart, maximum fruit. In other words, what we should be seeking as those who truly love God and desire to accomplish all that He created us for, we need to be seeking maximum fruit in everything we do and say. By faith. I'll give you an example. When you go somewhere, say you're going to talk to somebody, witness to somebody, or whatever God set up, or ministering the Word, you can lock it in by faith. When your heart is pure before God, you can say, Father, by faith, I just declare that maximum fruit is born in all that You say and do through me, and I give You all the glory. And I thank You, Father, that You are glorified to the greatest degree, that the Word of God is exalted to the greatest degree, that Satan and his forces are hurt to the greatest degree, and that the people, or the person, or the people that you have me minister to, that they are elevated to the greatest degree, empowered to the greatest degree, blessed to the greatest degree. Lock it in prayer. Go out with a clean heart, knowing that it will happen. When you see, you have to do that, because you can't always go out there. You can never go out there, do something, and then look around and say, gee, I wonder what I accomplished. Sometimes you can see some things, but I'll tell you, in this last hour, as I said before, we are going to be a people that walk by revelation. We are going to see what we see through the eyes of God, or we're going to see what we see through the eyes of deception. We're not those people. And we're going to be a great light. But it is going to be that way. It is written in Malachi. It says, once again, you will be able to distinguish between those who serve God and those who don't. Now, in the type and symbol, he's talking to Israel. Israel is the type of the church. He's talking to people who are associated with God. We need to understand. We need to have a pure heart. See, things get really, really simple when we let God take over. I don't know how much I'll go into it, either today or later, but Isaiah 58, talking about true Sabbath rest. The key in that there's many keys, but the one key is having ceased from your own striving. And you know, we know that to a degree, to a great degree, actually. But the final hurdle in our service to God that we and entering into that perfect rest that He has for us is that we cease striving to serve Him on our terms. No matter how spiritual it may look or whatever. No, and that goes back to the word I gave in the inner chamber. On His terms. Father, what would you have me do? When you do that, your heart will remain pure day in and day out. You will have light. You will have knowledge. You will have empowerment. And not only that, you will know Him to a continually deeper degree with each passing day, which is what He desires first and foremost from each one of His children. See, before the fall, again I said this, but before the fall, Adam walked in fellowship with God. And that was fine. Okay, the fall came. And like I said earlier, the plan of redemption was put into force. And everything that needed to happen, happened. Praise God. But that fellowship is what he desires the most. You know, we come to meetings. Last night it was wonderful, the worship and praise. And what were we crying out? Every word I heard, crying out for His presence. Crying out to know Him to a deeper degree. And I'm telling you, that's why there's going to be such an explosion of God's power on the earth. Because we've got a God who desires that, and now we've got a people who desire that. And when those two things come together, and that reminds me, I didn't finish that story about the early church being a glimpse of what we're going to see. The fact is, they were precious saints, but they had very little revelation knowledge. Why then the great power? They had one accord. We have 2,000 years of revelation knowledge, but what's happened is, we haven't had the one accord. But now, that is coming to pass. And so you can understand that the early church, as glorious as it was a glimpse of what we're about to experience in the church now. See, these words are meant to elevate you, to get your thinking up where God is thinking. He is Almighty God. Why would He is unlimited. He had me stand up. I'm not sure if that meeting you were at, but He had me stand up. He wouldn't even let me start to speak until He said this. He said, tell my people this. He said, tell my people to begin to walk and think in light of the fact that I am an unlimited God. I am unlimited. Yeah. And I'll tell you, that boggled my mind. I was just, we're just starting conference, yeah. And now I felt like I just started about, you know, 5 minutes before serving God. It's true. You start thinking about that. Yeah. Unlimited. Unlimited resources, unlimited revelation, unlimited finance, whatever it takes to establish the kingdom of God, the covenant of God in the hearts of the people. Yeah, I'm not going to go into that right now. That's a whole other topic. But the fact is that our job is to establish the fullness of God's covenant in the hearts of the people. Now, you can take that initially from in the church, of course, but I'll tell you, when the world understands the covenant of God, I mean, it always marvels me. I haven't been to Africa yet. But the fact is, I've heard some stories from people who have, and what they say almost in unison is this. When the people there are ministered the uncompromised Word of God, and the covenant of God comes out, the blood covenant. They understand blood covenant.
Yes.
They have no problem. When they understand Jesus and what he did, they just jump on that and great miracles begin to abound.
Yes.
Why? Because they understand covenant. Our job is to establish the covenant of God in the hearts of the people who cross our path. Okay. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Again, getting back to that idea of maximum fruit. Maximum results. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Another absolute kingdom principle. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire. They are burned. We don't want to be useless branches. We want to be fruit-bearing continually. We were talking this morning at breakfast about the fact that California bears fruit all year round, which is really a little bit, that's a bit of a trick on the mind when you live in the North Country, because you've got the seasons like clockwork. But the fact is, we want to be in that place of abiding. And again, abiding in Christ, abiding in the love of the Father, abiding in his word is accomplished through our personal fellowship with him. Whatever that means, again, to each individual believer. See, I'm putting the onus on you. Now you've got to go and find out exactly what that means. But God will bless that word that he spoke. But we need to do that. But it's, you know, it's more than just works. Well, you know, I guess we better go in and do that, because if we don't, it comes to a place. I just need the words to describe what type of cycle begins to happen. I call it a kingdom cycle. Because when you go into the presence of God with the love of God in your heart, just for the sake of loving him and being near him, it sets in motion so many things. I don't have time to preach this. For any amount of time you want to name, because it just keeps expanding. I say all things. All things that you need between now and the time you leave here are going to be based on your relationship with God. They're found there.
Yes.
That empowerment is there. It's real.
Yes.
Well, we need empowerment. This is not a pleasant place to live without the love of God in your heart. Because if the love of God's not in your heart, then fear rules.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, that leads to all sorts of bondage, to pride, rebellion, and so on.
Yeah.
But we are a people, a faithful people.
Amen.
A people, a pure-hearted people.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish or desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, when I ran across that scripture when I started out, I mean, I saw that scripture and I thought, I mean, if my desires weren't scrambled, they were certainly, you know, I knew there were certain things I still wanted to kind of do. And I thought, this does not make any sense to me at all. But, you know, over the years, of course, I didn't have much word in me then. But over the years, as through various situations and preparations that God so gloriously bestowed upon me, put me in positions that you wouldn't. I mean, I tell people, I mean, with my testimony, especially concerning finances, I tell people, I mean, I could sit here and tell you my testimony. I can't even believe it almost, and I was there. No, he knows what he's doing. He knows what we need. And, you know, Paul wrote, rejoice. Rejoice in your tribulations. And I didn't understand that scripture either. But I do now. I do now. You know, because God is faithful. He's watching over his word to perform it. He's faithful to finish the work that he's begun in us,
yes,
no matter how long it takes or took. And consequently, again, another spontaneous result of our perfect fellowship with God is that, of course, he reveals himself to us. I better go on here. Anyway, getting back to this, the other spontaneous result is that it creates godly desire within us. I believe it was David that said, I treasure up your word, or I store up my word, your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Romans 14:23b says, whatever
does not proceed from faith is sin. Another absolute kingdom principle. I mean, that's a wonderful passage, just in Romans 13. But I just believe the Holy Spirit just kind of buried that one, you know, for people who are seeking.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's easily tossed aside. That's an absolute kingdom principle.
Yeah.
You know, yes. Jesus said you'll be judged for every word you speak.
Yeah.
One translation says, it's excellent, it says, you'll be, every idle, non-faith-producing word will be judged. Non-faith-producing word. Paul, I'm going to deal with some of these scriptures a little more in depth later on, but Paul said, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may impart or give grace to those who hear. The impartation of grace. I got 7 sermons going on all at once. Well, praise God, we'll get through. But anyway, but going back to this scripture, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Again, true fellowship or perfect fellowship with God on His terms produces godly desire. It means then that we have power in prayer. It means when you pray, you are praying the will of the Father. And again, that's another topic we're going to talk a bit about, prophetic proclamation in this last hour. We're going to talk about the importance of words. We're going to talk about the power of words. And we're going to come to understand some things. And we're going to be a people who are faith-talking, faith-walking, miracle-producing words and works out of the abundance of our heart. Why? Because our hearts are pure. Our hearts are filled with the Word of God. They're filled with His very presence. Filled and consumed to overflowing. Overflowing. I'll tell you, I've said this many times before, but I know this for a fact. Even in the hardest times I've ever been in, and God would use me in just some small way, the residue of His presence moving through me to do whatever He desired to accomplish was more than sufficient. But He's got more planned than that.
Yeah.
More planned than that. So, again, the purity of heart. What God is commanding us in this time, He always has commanded us this. What He desires is holiness in His people. Holiness and consecration. Well, praise God. I'm glad I got a couple more things to do, or sermons to do, because I'm touching on things now. But this is very important for you to know, that this is the time where the Father is going to reveal the truth, the Word in His absoluteness. He is going to honor Jesus in the midst of His people, in the face of the people of this earth. He is going to honor every last drop of blood that was spilled on our behalf.
Yes.
And see, these are all positive things. The reason why God's judgment comes forth the way it does is because the things that are done apart from Christ are a denial of the blood of Jesus. Another absolute principle. We don't look at things that way sometimes, but that's the absolute spiritual reality behind that. And so God is going to judge all that is apart from Christ. And we are going to be a people that get a continually deeper revelation of the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus throughout eternity, I believe. But that's neither here. Right now we're here. And the fact is, that will mean many things. And this is a topic for another day, and I will teach them this. But He is going to honor the blood of His dear Son. And it is a wondrous thing. It is a wondrous thing. Okay. So again, if we abide in the Word and the Word abides in us, it will produce godly desire day in and day out. And keep self-desire out. Move the darkness out. See, we can't be a people walking around with blinders on. If we're walking around in darkness, it's because we've chosen to do so at some point. Or the people that will cross our path, they've chosen to do so. But again, as we operate in the love and wisdom of God, we will be able to find out what's causing people to be held in bondage. Break those strongholds down so quickly. Satan spends a whole lifetime building a stronghold in a person. It can go down like that. But we need to walk in the fullness of God's power. We cannot be a half-hearted people. Less than 100%, Satan wins every time. Boy, I don't like saying those words. I don't think he's going to get his. But that's the truth behind it. That's why. You see, it, of course we should love God with all our heart. But as we do, it sets everything in motion because it's what God required from the beginning. And so consequently, this is why it's becoming more simple, but more absolute. And the absolute things are required of us now. We can't. We all know about cold, hard religion or denominational structures that are so far out of the Word of God that, well, so far out of the Word of God, we won't go there. You know, our battle's not against flesh and blood anyways. But the fact is that many of these people will get set free in this hour. Many will go into deeper darkness. But no man will go anywhere except by his own choice. Anywhere. All right. Verse 8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Again, prove in everything we do and say. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now, another example, a spontaneous result of the inner chamber in time and perfect fellowship with God. We will come into a place of abiding in perfect obedience. How in heaven's name could we ever abide or even walk in perfect obedience without knowing what the will of God is? And how are we going to know what the will of God is? And I'm talking, see, how are we going to know what the will of God is unless we hear the deepest thoughts and intentions of his heart? See, perfect obedience is constituted by two things, not just the knowing the will of God. See, because you can look at this and say, oh, okay, by his stripes, I am healed. You can confess that scripture. That's true. Absolutely true. And you can stand on that thing, but I'll tell you one thing. If you will remain in fellowship, he will tell you by the unction of his Spirit and the wisdom of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation how to appropriate that for yourself. See, it's his desire that every last Christian come into a place of walking in the fullness of their covenant. And again, I'm touching. I want to go on to each one of these. But over the next couple of days, I'll go more in depth as the Spirit leads. But the fact is, we must be a people walking in the fullness of our inheritance in Christ to overcome in this last hour. Because if we are not, if we do not take those steps in obedience to God to overcome, we will be overcome. We will either be overcomers or we will be overcome. That is an absolute fact. This is what's coming down. This is the time to prepare. Be prepared by the Father and by his loving presence. He is not going to prepare us over all these years and let us fall flat in our face in the last hour. He is faithful. See, one of the greatest problems and one of the things that has allowed Satan to have leeway of any kind in the church is simply the fact that people have an inherent mistrust of God. Now, I'm not going to go into all this right now, but the fact is, when people are born into this earth, all of a sudden a whole set of things comes into place, right? Now, maybe some of you were blessed with godly parents. I mean, I'm thankful for my parents. I know I am, but they didn't walk in third-day revelation. You know, they did their best, and they knew the Lord. But the fact is that every time, and this goes actually for the ministry too, every time a delegated authority of any kind, it can be a school teacher, it can be a parent, it could be a teacher, an apostle, it doesn't make any difference. But in this case, a parent, any time that they operated in fear, all right, they misrepresented God. You could agree with that. Because God would rather have us walk in wisdom. All right? And so that's not love. Now, a lot of things have been called love that or fear or have been called love but were actually fear. But what the devil does in that, and this is his strategy against every human being because he hates every one of us, and is to steal, kill, and destroy. From the time that we're born, then he sets things in motion. And this isn't override God, but I'm just explaining to you what happens and why we ended up where we were. In some cases, people not even believing God or believing or knowing that he existed. And it's this. There are spirits called spirits of transference. And what they do is this, right? Every time a delegated authority, and this still happens in the church to a degree, every time an authority of whatever part misrepresents God, those spirits go to work to begin a mindset and a stronghold in that person. And it's a transfer. And I've seen this time and time and time again. And ultimately, their goal is to transfer these things onto the Father. In other words, if you had a parent that was extremely critical, all abusive with words all the time, then when you come in, even born again, come into that place, your first, before any renewing of the mind, your first thinking will be, he's a harsh, authoritarian, God's going to hit me every time I even move. You do something wrong. Not true. That's the work of the devil. That's why it's so important for us to be a people that are filled with a knowledge of the deepest thoughts and intentions of the Father's heart so that we can represent Him perfectly in all that we do. Jesus did. Did people understand that then? They certainly did not. Look at His own earthly mother when they were standing outside that meeting and He sent word in, oh, we want to talk. We want to talk to Jesus. They should have been sitting on the front row.
Amen.
They could have been. What did Jesus say? Who are my mothers and brothers and sisters? Those who do the will of God. Was that constituted as love? No. They thought He was crazy for a while. They finally got the revelation because their hearts were pure. Kind of figured they had to be. I don't believe God would have chosen Mary to do what she did without eventually coming to that place. But you see, when we look at the ministry of Jesus, what a magnificent thing that is. Every word, every action is a perfect example of what I've been explaining to you so far. A perfect example. He didn't base what He said or did on the fear of man. He listened to the Father. What would you have me say, Father? He spoke it. What would you have me do, Father? He did it. What happened? He accomplished the fullness of our redemption. And we're going to finish the job.
Amen.
Greater works, He said, shall you do. Okay. Let's go. No, don't go there. 1 John 4:18 says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Again, another spontaneous result of time in the inner chamber with God. You can't get rid of your fear yourself. We've all tried. Heavens, we were trying. If we could have done that, we wouldn't have needed Jesus.
Amen.
But we couldn't, could we? But perfect love, the perfect love of the Father, the perfect expression of His love in His Word, casts out all fear. A little addition to that, as we go into that individual fellowship with God, and God deals with any ground of fear continually, then we become that pure vessel. And then, you see, and this is really jumping a little bit ahead, as the third day church, this glorious church, moves out into the fullness of her calling, we are going to be a people so filled with the love of God that literally the ground of fear will be exposed in the people that cross our path. And they are going to get set free. I mean, oh, there's absolutely no way in without the anointing. Well, we can't do anything without the anointing. But the fact is, to speak this message, the unlimited power of God unleashed, we don't have anything to base that on before. Glimpses, yes. Glorious glimpses. Thank God for them. But the unlimited power of God unleashed,
we don't know it.
Our job is to be pure vessels. Our job is to be obedient, and we will see it.
Yes.
I'll tell you, doesn't it excite your heart?
Yes.
To think about the fact that the devil is going to be literally crushed,
yes,
devastated,
yes,
and I have some others. I have to get to that sometime during this conference, but I'll let you in a little thing that God showed me about His eternal destiny. You know God's perfect. You know you're not going to miss an opportunity. He doesn't miss an opportunity now to hurt the devil. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. Anyway, I'll go back to this whole thing about the blood. The fact is, again, the power of the blood of Jesus. Now, as the children of God begin to come into the fullness of their inheritance in Christ and abide in that place, We are going to have an explosion of revelation knowledge. We are going to understand the unlimited capacity of God. What has he ever been limited in?
Nothing.
No, we've acted like he has.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have, but we did.
Yeah.
But again, there's so many preconceived notions and misconceptions of his character. He's perfect. You know that scripture, Matthew 5:48, that says, you know, Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Oh, boy. Let me just give you the Jackson translation of that from the way God showed it to me. You know, be perfectly motivated towards God and towards all those who cross your path the way that the Father is perfectly motivated towards you. In other words, walk in love. Abide in love. Maximum, absolute love. Unadulterated love at all cost to self. That's the people that God is raising up in this hour. And it is extremely important, these things that I'm saying to you. I really don't know. I've preached this for a few years now anyways. And it was always the fullness of time, the fullness of time. It's coming. I think you said it last night, Vincent. Or no, who was it? It was Richard. You were confessing something? Is that right? What was it you said last night? You say a lot of things, all of that, right? But anyway, he was saying, it's coming. And the fact is, it's come. It's already here. But it's about to manifest in our midst. All right? Yeah, this thing's done. But he needed a people to walk this out in faith. In faith. Absolute faith. All right. Okay. So, 1 John 14, very, very important. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The mind of Christ. Boy, the scriptures in these days are coming unraveled. They're coming unraveled and bringing with it the empowerment. See, God's always been all powerful, but he's needed a people whose hearts were wholly given so that they could walk in that power, and he could entrust them with that power. I mean, I won't go there either. All right. It was amazing that Vincent touched on Isaiah 54 last night, because that's a scripture very close to my heart. Of course, there in that various passage or that chapter in that area, there are numerous aspects of the covenant that we have. You know, our children will be taught of the Lord, and their well-being should be great.
Yeah.
Every parent should have that thing emblazoned on their heart. Well, I'll tell you, in the tough times, you just can't. There's certain things, situations you'll get into. You couldn't do anything about it, even if you could think of something. And we shouldn't be thinking that way anyway. But the fact is, I've been through that. He's proven himself faithful in that scripture where my boys were concerned, and it was an amazing thing. And once he got rid of the fear in me, he tried. Oh Lord, you know this is happening, that's happening. Then all of a sudden, miracles began to happen. You know. And it's an amazing thing. Again, that's just one example. But, you know, Vincent touched on the scripture. And one of the things, when I started out, I was very, very, had a very, very poor inner image. I just did. All right. And so consequently, I needed a lot of renewing of the mind. So I had quite a fear of what people thought. And I fear of being humiliated and all those things that go with it. Well, what did this scripture say in Isaiah 54:4? Fear not, for you will not be disgraced. You will not be humiliated. Boy, I'll tell you, I got hold of that. I mean, God gave me that scripture. And I had that thing. I'm confessing it. And now he starts leading me into places where it looks like I'm going to be shown to be the biggest fool that ever walked the face of the earth. And, of course, the devil's, you know, trying to convince you that. And every time. And I must admit, it was like being the wiener out in the end of the stick at a wiener roast. Was not good. But, you know, the funny thing was, I mean, into the flames, but I came out fine. Time and time again. I don't want to make this sound too simple. I went through this a few times, but the fact is, again, he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. And regardless of how long it takes, it doesn't make any difference. The fact is, we all need to come to a revelation in this day that he is perfect. He is perfect. Let that word, you know, resonate in your heart. He's perfect. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, well, you know, they've got a controversy with God. Well, I'm not going to be spending a lot of time with people like that. They're wrong. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if they feel they were abandoned. They were not. They were not. Anyway, enough of that. We won't go into examples, but the fact is we have to have that revelation. Because we're entering into a time we're going to need to trust Him. Because if you can't trust God as a Christian, you will not be able to exercise an absolute faith working through a perfect love. And if you can't do that, you're going to fall short of the glory. We don't want to fall short of the glory. I don't mean ultimately. I just mean fall short of the glorious plan that God has for our lives. So, this is important. God is encouraging us to come into that place because He's ready. He's ready to accomplish the fullness of His will. He's ready to exalt the name of Jesus. He's ready to devastate Satan at every turn. Oh, inflict spiritual pain. I'm going to touch on that before we're through too, but Satan is such a con artist and a liar. He makes himself out to be so powerful, but he has nothing. He has nothing except what is given him through fear. But God is raising up a people that walk in an absolute faith, and it's going to turn things around very rapidly for him. And he's already trembling. He's already trembling. It's funny, I God just has this way of somehow letting the devil know what's coming, you know. Now, he did it with after the fall of man, when he prophesied about Eve and that the seed would come and it would bruise his head, crush his head. Yeah. And he just has this way of letting him know. And you could just take this for what it's worth, but I'm convinced in my own thinking that when a person that has a calling, high calling in their life particularly, is born into the earth, God somehow lets the devil know that, you see, this is my daughter here, this is my son here, and I'm going to do this and 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 this. It could be 40 years later. And that's the way he is. Wouldn't a proud father do that?
Yeah.
Boast in their kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he knows, because he can bring that to pass.
Yeah.
And the devil just gets all, well, I better just do everything I can to stop that person. And so then the people go through all these persecutions and all the testimony. I just take that for what it's worth. But ultimately, God knows the end, and every word He speaks will come to pass.
Amen.
So just take that for what it's worth. But I can tell you, I could line all the people who are truly seeking God up in a line, and their testimony would be very similar in a way, if you know what I mean. I'm sure you all do. Yeah. Mostly in this area, Satan is absolutely trying to take people out. I mean, right out, because he knows what's coming. And he sees a people now that are rising up to a place that people haven't risen up to before, not corporately anyway. And the fact is, he trembles.
Amen.
And in this last hour, he will spend his days running in stark terror from the glorious church. Verse 14 of that same chapter says, in righteousness you will be established. What did I say reading the scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:30? By His doing, you are in Christ, who was made to us what? Righteousness. Boy, I'll tell you, I'll touch on this a bit. In this last hour, the force of righteousness will be released to such a great degree that it will expose and consume all unrighteousness. And of course, the positive side of that is it will convict people that you never even, you could, even with all the faith that we could muster, it would be hard to imagine these people turning around and living lives for the kingdom. But it will do it. Again, through the pure vessels that God is raising up in this last hour. And then the result. Vincent talked about this last night. Bless my heart. Because this is where we've talked about the need for us to allow God to deal with the fear in our lives, get the ground of fear out. Why? So He can replace that ground of fear with His love, so that we can abide in that love move wholly in the direction that He has for us. And the next verse says, you will be far from oppression. Why? For you will not fear. That's why you're far from will be far from oppression. That's why terror will not come near you, is because you're a people that are unstoppable. Yeah. Was Jesus unstoppable? Vincent touched on it last night. Yes, he was. Yeah. Even when he laid his life down, and I'm going to deal with that in a second, that weapon didn't prosper against him either. It actually turned around and it was the end of the devil, in essence. It looked like it did. It looked like it did. And sometimes the devil's weapons against us look like they're prospering. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. I'll tell you. You talk about maximum results. If you'll walk in faith in the face of the devil's attack, ultimately, he will meet his demise. A little side like to this too. Part of the covenant. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. All right? Now, what happens when we do that? When we believe that, I mean, and act on it. This is what happens. You'll see it in the various battles that Israel fought when they had acknowledged God. They got hurt in some battles because they didn't acknowledge God. They went out in their own strength. Every time there was a problem, people got hurt. But when they did acknowledge God, then there was utter confusion in the midst of the enemy.
Yeah.
And consequently, God just supernaturally, that weapon that had come against them destroyed that weapon. The same thing will happen in this last hour. Now, the Holy Spirit gave me a name for that. What when you obey in that area of the covenant by acting in faith and believing that, it puts in a principle or a law into effect. It's called the principle or law of divine retribution. What that means is, if you'll walk in faith in the light of any attack, no wonder Paul said rejoice. See, there's a reason why he did say that. He wasn't just trying to walk in faith. He had a revelation in his inner man that, you know, okay, it's not pleasant to be attacked by the devil. I mean, no, nobody's going to stand there and tell you that. But God has made the provision for us to not only withstand it, but turn it around in his face. And if you will do that again, if you will rejoice in the face of tribulation, whatever that is, don't be moved by a feeling. My God, Jesus didn't sell us out for a feeling, I can tell you that.
Amen.
He most certainly did not. Neither should we be moved by our feelings.
Amen.
We should be a people who walk by faith and not by sight. Love and not by sight. Obedience and not by sight. Revelation and not by sight. The anointing that abides within and not by sight.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes some renewing of the mind, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to endure more than you can stand. Again, another word we have to have in our heart.
Yes.
But, going on. This law of divine retribution, I've seen it work. And it gets to the point, again, you don't rejoice in unrighteousness. My goodness. Of course not. But when unrighteousness shows its ugly face, and we stand in faith and love in the light of that, we can rejoice in the fact that God is going to set into motion some things that are going to just absolutely devastate Satan. And you know something? He knows. He knows those who are truly walking in this. What did Paul say? In the Sons of Sceva, that story.
Uh-huh.
What happened there? What did those demons say? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you?
Yeah.
We shouldn't be the who are yous. When the situation rises, boy, they're seeing Jesus. That's what they're seeing. And he knows the damage that he can do. That's important. You know, these things are all various things I've experienced in my life. You know, and I mean, I like everybody else, I clung to things I shouldn't have. Fears, you know, things. But when I finally got to the place where I realized I couldn't maintain this thing anymore, I would let God in, and instantaneously. You know, and you wouldn't look back and go, oh, why did I do that for 6 months? You'd go, thank God. And you get it. When you're looking back and going, oh, like that, I'm not so sure that that's where we could say we'd come to a place of a deep and thorough repentance. But just stay in there with that. Anyway, let's go on. All right, that's a wonderful promise. Rising above fear. A wonderful promise. Dwelling or abiding in the presence of the Lord is the key to receiving the fullness of all that the Father has for us in Christ. It is the key to absolute empowerment in all things. See, I love that word all. There's not a lot of discussion there, is there? Somebody can bring up a situation. Well, what about this? No, all. What about this? All. All. Yeah. And that's, you know, really, that's the way that God deals with us from that level. He does. We want to maybe discuss things and say, well, what about this? What about that? No, all. So if we will, again, get that revelation continually of his absoluteness, we will be in good shape. The main thing today so far is the fact that we understand that our relationship with God is of the utmost importance, our personal relationship. You know, why is it that, think about this, why is it the devil goes to so much trouble to distract us? Sometimes subtly, sometimes not so subtly, but nonetheless distract us. Keep us out of what? Out of his rest, out of his presence. There is empowerment in his presence. That's, if you don't remember anything else I said, you will, but if you didn't, you'll remember this, that all empowerment comes from his presence.
Amen.
So, whatever the problem is, get into his presence. Man, I mean, I'll tell you, it works. It works, because he said it. Get into his presence. I mean, why is it? Why is it that sometimes when a situation arises, we will kind of step away from God and try to figure it out ourselves? And just let that heaviness and all that, whatever comes with it, stay on us. Get into the presence of God. It doesn't take long. When you practice that, you won't be under that oppression. You take a step in faith, that oppression will be far from you. You take a step in fear, it's going to escalate. That's his plan. Oh, I just, you know, it just blesses me so much to preach this message, because I know what God's got planned for Satan in the spirit. Can't tell you all the circumstances. I know it's good. He'll do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think, for sure. All right. I don't know if I'll go into that today. Turn over to Isaiah 35. Do that. Now, it's important to understand that the Father has a foolproof plan for the church. He said that to me, foolproof. I like that. There's a lot of different definitions of fool in the Scriptures, particularly in Proverbs. I think I heard one chap preach a sermon called The Baker's Dozen. It was on the fool. 13 different Scriptures dealing with what it is. But one of the key Scriptures is, the Bible says that it's a fool that fixes their eyes on the world. And what does that mean to us? When I think of the world, I think of the world system. I think of selfishness and the ways of selfishness. In other words, if you focus your eyes on yourself, you're a fool in the eyes of God. And ultimately, it will be a fool that says there is no God, right? I mean, a person will come to that. And I mean, I'm not talking about a Christian losing their salvation. I'm just talking about the fact that if we learn to acknowledge God in all our ways, we will not lean upon our own understanding, right? And consequently, in doing so, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, we will not do foolish things or say foolish things apart from Christ, you see. All right, Isaiah 35. Let me get there myself. Now, again, there is so much in this last hour, and thank God for the revelation, the body of Christ, but it really is amazing when you do a word study on the word Zion in the Bible. And when you do that, you begin to get an inner image of the Father's desire and plan for the glorious church, the manifestation of the glorious church in the earth. And it's an amazing thing to think that so many things are about to happen in such a short time. It really is. I'll tell you, I just have to share this right now. Another important reason for us to be walking and abiding in revelation knowledge is this, and this is the Father said this to me. In Isaiah 35, starting in 1, we begin to see a picture that's being painted here. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Araba will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the Araba. And then verse 8. And a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it. but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. In other words, nobody's just going to kind of straggle onto the path. It's a narrow path, and it is a highway of holiness. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it, notice. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. Now I'll tell you, in this last hour, we're going to see a church that's walking in the fullness of her redemption. I mean, I'm not going to go into all the horror stories of past evangelism. Thank God for anything that was done righteously. Maybe never be found coming against anything like that, of course. But the fact is, God's plan is awesome. And we are going to be a church walking the fullness of our redemption. And the world will see that. They will see the power of God on our behalf. And so the redeemed he's talking about there will be holy. See, God doesn't separate that. It's never his idea for a person just to get born again and go live the rest of the life for themselves. It was his desire for us to walk in the fullness of every last thing that was bought for us by the blood of Jesus. Totally free from the law of sin and death, walking as sons and daughters of God. Walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. These are all absolute principles. See, they were always in the Word. But it sometimes just seems so long. It seemed like we were in such a long process. And honestly, I really believe that in, and I'm going to deal with this scripture on Friday, but in holding fast to the vision, it really taught us to walk by faith to a degree that we're not even aware of yet. Really believe that. And now the reward of the righteous is going to come forth. And so the redeemed, those who are truly seeking God, who've been redeemed, are going to walk on this highway of holiness. They're not just going to be out doing their own thing. The redeemed, we're going to see in the fullness of that manifestation that God. I'm not going to go any more on that. I believe you got what I'm saying. The fact is that there's been such a mix, you know. It's like, you know, you call people lukewarm Christians, and some believe in this, and some don't believe in this, and some don't believe anything, and some, you know what I mean. The fact is that God is raising up a church that will have a revelation burning in their hearts of the fullness of Jesus Christ, and the fullness, again, of the thoughts and desires of his heart. Okay. And in verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. With everlasting joy upon their heads, they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Again, extremely important to understand the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Again, another spontaneous manifestation of time in his presence produces joy. It produces joy in the knowledge of our love towards him. It produces joy in the various revelations he's revealed to us concerning our own call, concerning the call of the corporate church, whatever. It produces joy, great joy, overwhelming joy. But overwhelming joy produces overwhelming strength, not weakness. And overwhelming joy produces overwhelming love. It produces a life that desires to live for God at all costs to themselves. And if they only had one breath left, let them be found living in Christ and abiding in Christ. Now I just want to... Yeah. Okay, I'll do that. I want to share, and I believe I shared this last year, but I'm going to share it again. God gave me a vision of a school platform. It was my old public school platform. You can picture it, I'm sure. They're not that big, but it's got the little stage and the curtains and so on. And on that stage, I saw a multitude of people. And I saw men, and they were all standing hand in hand like this, side by side. I saw men, and I saw women, and I saw apostles, and I saw church janitors. And I saw every last, husbands and wives, I saw every last category that a human being could fit in. All standing side by side with their arms linked. And the Father spoke to me and he said, this is the way that I see my children. End of sentence. End of sentence. This is the way that I see my children. You know, God is establishing true working fivefold ministry in the church. It's quite clear in Ephesians 4. I don't need to read that scripture again. You know, again, another vision he gave me was, it's so that we can till we all come to the unity of the faith. The one scripture that he gave me was the scripture of a mountain climber. It's amazing. It gives me visions of things that I wouldn't even dream of doing, let alone know anything about. But I understood it enough to know that when you are planning an expedition up a mountain, that there are lead people that go and they secure a position up on the way up that mount, and then they will throw down the rope or whatever equipment they use to do whatever they have to do. And then those people who are willing, I suppose, they take that and they go to that level. And then they'll throw that pickaxe or whatever it is up again, that grappling hook, up again. Same thing, same process. But ultimately, that expedition being successful, everybody will be standing side by side in that same place. And that place being the fullness of their position in Christ, the fullness of the place that God has called them to. So, really, in essence, that's what the fivefold ministry is about. It's to throw that grappling hook up and then draw the people up, continually elevating in everything they do. But I command you in the name of Jesus, and you can take this impartation and you can command it to everybody who crosses your path. The Father loves us all the same, and there God is coming to judge self-exaltation.